you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 25th, 2020. Reading from James chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Oh, listening friends, stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes because we're going to be talking about this verse and some other things that God's up to. I think he has something to say to all of us, points of application. This is a special verse, as you know, on Fridays for the past many months. Pastor Jason has joined me as we literally go verse by verse, sometimes word by word through this book of James, and now we find ourselves at verse 17, and so we'll talk about that in just a minute. Pastor Jason is joining me via the phone lines. Thank you, God, for the technology. You doing okay today, Pastor Jason?
Doing wonderful,
doing,
as always.
Doing wonderful. But let me alert our listeners, if you were tuned in Tuesday, you heard a special interview with the Lemons as there's a gathering tomorrow at 1:30 at Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana. It's a prayer and repentance gathering. It's going to go about an hour, hour and a half. I think seven or eight different pastors will be praying over different themes, and we'll be praying for our government officials, for our nation, and so there'll be topics we'll all pray through together. It'll be in the parking lot, unless it rains or the weather is such that we'll move indoors into Lincoln Square, but it'll be in the southeast parking lot of Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana. So join us at 1:30 tomorrow, Saturday. And we'll just seek after God and humble ourselves and pray and ask him to be a part of bringing healing and hope and doing what only he can do, is bring good conviction and health and healing to our land. So that's tomorrow at 1:30. And men, as a reminder, we did send out an email, but Monday night there will not be a Singing Men of GNN rehearsal. The leadership team will be meeting and we'll be talking about the future of the Singing Men of GNN. But the Christmas concert, I think it was our 22nd year in a row at Marketplace Mall that we were going to present on December 19th. That's been canceled. The mall is being careful and cautious with the COVID-19 and such. They felt it would be better safe than sorry. So in light of the fact that that Christmas concert at the mall is going to be canceled and there was no other concerts coming up, we're going to pray it through, take the rest of the year off, and regroup for 2021 and see how God is going to lead the Singing Men into the future. But no more Singing Men rehearsals on Monday night through the end of this year, and no Christmas concert, which was hard to take. But I had a good conversation with the mall. They've loved having us these past 21 years. But as we talked it through, we felt that it would be best to make the decision now. And so there won't be rehearsals for the next few months. And then we'll see what God does and recalibrates and re-energizes us into 2021. So maybe sad news for many of you, because I know it's a bright spot in that December calendar as we're anticipating the birth of our Lord Jesus and we're celebrating the Christmas story and that message about how God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, and we get to sing about that. But we'll see what God's up to and how the Singing Men will restart up in 2021. But Jason, what's special about this verse in James, James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, capital F, of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So much good meat and information and encouraging words that God has penned for us through the writing of James so that we can be better equipped to know him and to live for him.
Yeah, that's for certain. And it's really interesting because verse 16 is your transition verse. So verse 16, James writes and he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. So he's writing because he loves the people who he's writing. That's one of the things you got to love about the book of James is he continually is using this word beloved. Even in places where he's offering correction, he's not offering correction in the form of condemnation. He's offering gentle, the kind of correction that says, I love you enough that I can't let you believe this or believe that or do this or do that. I need to offer you this kind of correction because I love you. I don't want to see you stumble. I don't want to see you believe the wrong things or assume the wrong things about one another or about God. And sometimes I think that in Christianity, and particularly in the church, we tend to be very passive-aggressive. We tend to be, well, you know, I mean, I want to be a peacemaker, and I don't really want to ruffle anybody's feathers, so, you know, I'm just not going to really say anything. And sometimes I think that's because we don't know how to say that. We don't take that to God and ask him by his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into difficult conversations. But the Bible seems to be replete with these moments where brothers and sisters come together and talk with one another about difficult things. And I love how James does that. He says, my beloved brothers. Now, James has just spent time in the preceding verses saying, let no one say he's tempted, for I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And then he goes on to say, you know, when each person is tempted, it's their own desire that lures them and tempts them, that lures them into sinning. It's not God who puts this stumbling block in their way. Now, we need to know that because that's the contrast between what he has said in verses 13 and 14, what James is transitioning in 16, and then what we read in verses 17 and 18. Because they're believing something that's wrong in verses 13 and 14. Somehow, in some way, the people that James is writing to has believed that God is tempting them. Oh my gosh, this thing came upon me because God is tempting me. And James says, listen, don't be deceived. Because that's a deception to believe that God does that, because that goes against his character, his holy nature of who he is. And he says, I love you too much for you to be deceived. And then he says, listen, God is not the giver of bad things, temptation. God is the giver of good things. And that's James's transition. He wants to transition them from believing bad things about God to believing good things about God. And for some people, they might be listening right now and they might say, well, duh. I mean, we say all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Of course. I mean, we think, well, that's just so simple. But I have heard, and you've probably heard, Mark, and everybody listening has probably heard at some point or another, or even said it themselves during a difficult thing or when something bad happens, it goes, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this? Because it's so easy to fall into the trap of believing that whatever arrived at our doorstep, that God gave it to us. And not to take ownership and understand that maybe it was our own desires that did that. Maybe it was Satan. There's a whole bunch, a litany of things. But immediately we kind of go to God and go, God, why? And we're not alone, right? Because that's what David did in the Psalms over and over again. David would go to God and he would go, why is this happening? And then God would correct him. And at the end of the Psalm, David would be exalting God and proclaiming his name and praising him. You know, and so just like David at times could get off track, the people who James is writing to could get off track, we get off track. But we don't need to come to people with the kind of rhetoric or the kind of, how do I want to say this, demeanor that condemns people or talks down to them. But instead, we need to come and we need to wrap our arms around our brothers and sisters and say, listen, I love you too much to have you believe this about God, because that's not how God is. And so James says, listen, what I want you guys not to be deceived about, beloved brothers, is that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of light. And the word gift here that James is using, it denotes the act of giving. The emphasis is on the giver. So, you know, when you get a gift, sometimes we focus so much on the gift. But the way that the words are laid out here, and if you in the original language, the emphasis is all upon the giver, the person who gives the gift. Because God is the giver of gifts. And so when we look at things and we go, man, that came from God, or we look at things and we go, wow, God, or we look at things and go, man, look at how beautiful that is. Look at how, and we understand rightly where those gifts came from. then we can't help but glorify and give praise to God. And so what's interesting is when he says this, and what we've got to understand is the New Testament writers, they didn't have the New Testament when they wrote the New Testament. And so what they did have, though, is the Old Testament. So when they used words and when they used certain phrases, what they wanted to do for the readers was to make them kind of think back to the Old Testament, to remind them. The Hebrew word there is remez. Remez is a reminder. It's a way that Hebrew writers would put a hint in there or something to make you go, hmm. And so when we read this, we say, do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Now they would go, this is the only place in the New Testament that uses the word Father of lights. So why would they use Father of lights? Well, when we pair it along in that sentence with the word good, immediately it makes us think of Genesis chapter 1. And God said it was good, and God said it was good. And he separated the light and the darkness. Why? Because he is the Father of light. He called the light good. He spoke over the light, declaring the goodness of the light. And then in the course of creation, God created all those good things. He created the sun and the moon and the stars and the green grass and the upper firmament and the lower firmament and the animals and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And he created you and me. And God, even in the midst of all his creation, created a place where we can rest from all the work of creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so God created all these things, and he declared that they are good. So all of creation, every single bit of it, points back to the Creator. All these things, when we look around them and we see them as gifts, and sometimes I think that's what we miss doing. We don't look around and we don't see these things around us and take them as a gift. Instead, we look around and we take them for granted.
Mm.
You know, and instead of looking out and going, oh, my gosh, God created that. Look at those colors. Look at how that looks. That's amazing. You know, I've been recently going out onto the country roads and in the afternoon, and I take a bike ride, and it's just a way to clear my head. It's a way to pray. And as the seasons have kind of been changing, you know, when the bean fields are turning from this lush kind of green to a golden color as they begin to die. And it's really fascinating that I found it many times. I stop my bike ride and I just stand on the side of the road on those country roads in the middle of nowhere. And I just praise God because of how beautiful that golden color looks. You know, the sun is coming down on it. The wind is blowing through those bean fields. And it just looks beautiful.
Now, for some of us that are Facebook friends with you, we've seen you capture some of that, your favorite barn, your favorite crossroads, your favorite cornfield, your favorite soybean field. We see you pedaling along, and you've captured these little videos really displaying God's handiwork and beautiful creation.
Yeah. I mean, because what I think that we need, especially in this time, you know, and I don't want to ground us too much because James is talking about something very specific, but I don't want to kind of land us in today. But there is so much bad news today right now, Mark. There is so much to look out and see that just is not good. And I think that what we need to do now, especially as Christians, is train our hearts and train our eyes to look around and understand that we're blessed,
mm-hmm.
that we have received so many gifts. Did the sun come up this morning? What a great gift. That next breath, what a great gift. And there are maybe some things that we have taken for granted that we now need to spend some time savoring. You know, and I've really tried to do that as a way, and I'm not saying that I've actually got it nailed down, that I've actually got it all worked out or figured out, but one of the things I'm trying to do is to take little moments and take them captive and be able to just thank God, you know, for the smell of coffee in the morning, for the fact that, my gosh, Lord, isn't it amazing how water boils? You know, I mean, just very simple things where you can go, look at, I don't know how the bigness of all the stuff that's going on right now works itself out, but I know in this moment I can give God thanks because he's the giver of good things.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give us bad things. And listen, it's so easy to get in that mode of kind of stinking thinking where we go, everything's bad and everything stinks. And don't you know, we need to look at things from God's perspective, from the perspective of the one who gives us these gifts. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating to me is that God doesn't give on the basis of what we deserve or on the basis of our character. God gives on the basis of who he is, what he has promised, and what he desires for us. And the greatest example of that is Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the grace, God didn't wait for us to want his grace. He poured out his grace. The Bible says that while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. I mean, you can't even wrap your head around that. And then when you read the whole Bible and you go, oh my gosh, and wait, this is prefigured back in the book of Leviticus, and God all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 was talking about how he was going to, immediately as it falls apart, God is talking about how he's going to begin to put it back together. Mm-hmm. And just how God declares over us that he is the giver of good things. And again, when we say, well, what is the perfect gift? Well, the perfect gift is Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
That's the perfect gift because that's the only gift that has gained for us the thing that we couldn't ever hope to get, the thing that we couldn't understand how to get. I mean, I think about Hebrews that says, you know, in chapter 10, that every priest stands daily at making the sacrifices over and over again, year after year after year after year. And you just have to think that if you could look back over all of those years, you would go, my gosh, they just have to keep doing it.
Mm.
And yet when Christ gave a sacrifice himself once and for all, so sure was that the Bible says he sat down. There's no longer the need for the blood of bulls and goats. There's no longer the need for us to attempt to try to get back to where we ought to be. The giver of good gifts has given us the greatest gift ever, his son, Jesus Christ. And he didn't just give us, you know, the Old Testament, it was a dead sacrifice. God didn't give us a dead sacrifice. He gave us a living sacrifice named Jesus Christ, who from the cross with his arms spread out declared, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that, God calls us to be a living sacrifice, to do just the same thing, to go out into the world in all of these broken places and be a giver of good gifts, the kind of person who says, Father, forgive those people over there. They don't know what they're doing. They're just acting silly. They're acting foolish. Father, I don't understand what they're doing, but forgive them. And that's something that I think that we need to really get better at as Christians, because what we've gotten really good at, unfortunately, is pointing over there and pointing over there and saying, those people are just so stupid, and those people over there are just so wrong, and those people over there, they're just the worst of the worst. And we've gotten so good at condemning and shaming instead of crying out for the forgiveness of these people who don't know what they're doing. And I think that the only way we're going to truly wrap our head around that is when we understand the gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ. Because when we truly understand the gift that we've been given, then we remember, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was still like those people, because at one point we were all like that. While I was still like those people, God from the cross declared forgiveness over me. And I want to declare that same forgiveness for them. I want to intercede on their behalf to what? To the one who gives every good gift and every perfect gift from above, coming down from who? The Father of lights, the one who created all things, the sun, moon, and the stars, and then sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And so, you know, I read one time a writer who said the act of Christ coming was when grace stepped down. And what did grace step down to do? To offer that free gift. Because what is grace at its core? It's the free gift of God. It's unmerited favor. Grace at its core is the greatest gift we could ever receive and the greatest gift that we could ever give. When we understand all that God has done, when we understand how his grace has been poured out, is when we understand as Christians just how blessed we are. But I'm often reminded, and I write it in the front of every one of my journals, this quote from the rabbis who say, a blessing that is given and kept is a curse, because a blessing is meant to be given and given. Meaning that blessings that we receive, we in turn bless others with. And so when we receive the forgiveness of Christ from the cross, who says, Father, they don't know what they're doing, we in the same way declare out into the world, Father, they don't know what they're doing, but forgive them. and use me as an instrument to carry that message of forgiveness, that they might be saved too. Because I know without a doubt that you're the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I need to begin to see things through his eyes, through the giver's eyes.
You know, I already figured out what the title is when I archive this on our website. It's going to be The Perfect Gift. And I was thinking, I don't know if you gave this illustration. I'm sure we talked about it over the air. And I don't know if it was a video we saw or a video you saw and you recounted it. But it's the guy, he wakes up, he gets out of bed. And I don't know if everything has bows around it or it's like he's unwrapping everything because, like, the gift, wow, I have a bed. Wow, there's a ceiling. I'm in a home. He goes into the bathroom. There's a bow on the faucets because there's running water. Wow, hot and cold, you know, can open up his medicine cabinet. Wow, if I have a headache, there's aspirin in there. If I need lotion or deodorant. And then he walks, wow, carpeting on my feet. And wow, I have slippers. I have clothing to get into. Wow, there's a breakfast. There's a refrigerator. There's food in there. There's cabinets filled with food. And, you know, I have a car. I can drive. Wow. Now that I think of it, I have eyesight. I can breathe. I'm healthy. And it just, it's endless when we can kind of break down the fact that God has given us all these wonderful gifts, but then how much more to understand this perfect gift in Jesus that he's given to us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And every gift I think that God has given to us is meant to point us back to him. And we truly understand the gift. We give him the praise. We give him the glory. And I just think that's a better way to live. I don't know about you.
Amen. Listening friend, the perfect gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have an encounter with him today, maybe for the first time, or for you senior saints, just lavish your worship, your praise, your thanks to God for the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can know in a personal way. We can ask him into our heart. He can walk along with us, bringing hope and healing to this hurting world. And he's securing an eternity for us, not because of anything we did or that we deserve, because of God's great love. Oh, what a great, perfect gift. I accept it. I've taken it. You have also accepted it, Jason. And we thank God for offering it to all without finding fault. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.